Hello and welcome to the Red or Dead podcast. I am Kasim Luch, and joining me today are the regular band of Liverpool supporters who have had an up and down season, and they're going to talk us through the last week, which has been a massive week of three games, which is make or break for the season. And we're going to find out where we are before the last game of the season. I'm going to start with you, Dre. What's up? What are you looking at the screen for? What's happening?
I'm looking at the race for Europe and you know, I've never betted against my team. I've always believed in that they're going
to. Oh my God!
Lies.
Like, he ended the season.
Mr. Habayana, the flip flop himself. I mean, come on.
He was Mr. Flip Flop, and then he was Mr. Angry last few weeks, and now
my team. I've always believed in cheered me up and showed me a brighter day.
Okay,
Dre mad.
Let's move on to Suki. Suki's scared, down in the corner there. Suki, what's happening?
I'm good. It's been a good week.
Sound nervous, Suki. What's up?
I'm not nervous. back off three victories. Like it.
Don't spoil it.
Because there was a lot of negativity coming from the likes of Dre and Cass on last week.
Definitely.
Why you put me above Cass? No, never.
Dre, to be honest, we had to pick you up off the floor at the end. It was literally
the team did break me. Fractured.
Was it the team?
You were broken.
They did fracture me, but you know. How's this new mature episode going, eh?
He said exactly, no more childish. Suki, why, like, you're blending into your background there. Are you dressed in white with a white background? What's that?
It's sort of off-white.
I can just see a head floating.
Yeah, it's an off-white. Maybe I shouldn't have gone for this.
But I think it looks good.
Ellie, what's up? Why were you late? We just watched the game and you were still 15 minutes late.
Okay, let me explain, right? I thought we agreed that we were going to do this at half 10. I've got
the text here that says 10:15, but go on.
Oh, did it say 10:15? My bad. Maybe in my head I thought it was half 10. So that's why I went and made a cup of tea, went to the toilet, you know, chilled out, you know, got myself ready, you know, composed my thoughts, you know, listened to some classical music to get myself ready for Cass's chat. And calm myself down.
Hell of a lot of stuff in 20 minutes.
I noticed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I thought I did. I noticed you didn't
reply to a couple of my messages in the group. What's up?
I'm ducking the time. Look, I've got a new sort of motto. If you ain't got anything good to say, don't say anything at all. And I've had not a lot good to say, in fairness, because and I must admit,
because you agree, it's time's up.
Cass,
we won't get into time's up.
Let's have a few steps into the podcast before we.
Come down to London this week? I know your plan was to come down. Did you come down?
I did. Yeah, that was fantastic. And I came down literally on the 17th. Everything opened and I was there on the 17th. And it was just I'll be honest, it was a beautiful day just because everyone just seemed so happy. I mean, it's rare I've been to London. Everyone's so happy. Literally, everyone is just so glad. Yeah. only a day, mind you. But
it's interesting, this.
Yeah, so it's the first time. Yeah. So yeah, there's a gallery. So I went to art gallery, which was great. Cromwell Place. You guys should all check it out, Cromwell Place. It's free. They have 70-ish odd member sort of exhibitions and galleries that manage loads of artists, and they change the art maximum every 6 weeks, minimum every 1 week. And so it's a constantly evolving space. So if you're at a loss of what to do, get down to South Kensington, go Cromwell Place and check it out.
Someone, an out-of-towner, is telling us about our city. Listen.
Have you been?
No.
Okay, that's it.
To be fair, Dre, your London credentials are up for debate. We're not sure.
My London credentials are Londoner. Hardcore. I'm a proper Londoner. Londoner.
Maria, you also went exactly. Out and about in London.
And Hard Rock.
Sorry, Cass, I didn't catch what you said.
No, it's all right. I got really interrupted by these two ungrateful so-and-sos. You went out in London as well this week.
I was also in Kensington, actually. Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah. Kensington.
Oh. No. I didn't see Ellie. I went Where did I go? Forgotten. Oh,
you
no.
Went to the
I
sneaker
went to the
thing.
Design museum. I went to Sneakers Unboxed, which was pretty cool. It's good. Loads of sneakers.
It's
feel like going to JD Sports for the morning. No, it really wasn't. It was really good, to be fair. It's really interesting. I learned all sorts of things about the history of sneakers. That's good.
What's the most interesting thing that you learned about the history of sneakers?
Oh, that's a very good question.
No, I went into interview mode there. That was like I was doing a junket. Oh,
yes, he was, wasn't he? Journalist. That was like, I need a headline. I need a headline. That's what that was.
On the front page. Here's the story.
Exactly.
Most interesting thing. I'm just making stupid noises.
I'll put you on the spot.
You've put me on the spot. I don't know, you know. Do you know what?
That's your homework for next week.
This sounds really lame. No, this is the truth. I want an
interesting, fascinating fact about sneakers.
I've got loads. I was actually doing a write-up for it, and it's all just gone clean out my head because I'm just so gassed about Liverpool winning.
I can understand the excitement about a positive week that's happened. We did say we're going to have to talk about three games when we start this show, and we have got three games to discuss. Not surprisingly, or one of the reasons why everyone's a little bit more upbeat is that it's three victories that we're going to discuss. It is very surprising given this season. One very, very good game, which is the one that we're going to start with, was probably our biggest game, which was against Man United. It was a surprise to me how well we played in that game, actually. I think that was one of our best performances for a long, long time. Suki, go on. You do the honours. Not necessarily what happened in the game, because we won that 4-2, but what surprised you in a positive way about that match?
I wasn't surprised. It sort of felt like we're playing how we should be playing, kind of thing. We obviously went behind. It was disappointing that we went behind, which was obviously due to that sort of, I don't think it was going in. So I'd say Fernandez goal stroke Phillips own goal. We just showed a lot. I thought we would have capitulated actually after going home 1-0 based on how we got away 1-0 at Old Trafford after how we've been playing. So it was just good that we managed to come back. And then we actually dominated the game at the end of the first half and the start of the second half, and probably should have scored more. I still don't think we're clinical enough. It was a great finish by Jota. And Trent was just unbelievable. Trent is in the greatest form all season, like ever since March, I'd say, since he was dropped from England, he has been unbelievable. Probably just
thanks, Gareth.
he's just man of the match, unbelievable. I think Thiago's playing really well as well, but you might not agree.
Outstanding.
It's up for debate. Dre, did you rate Trent's performance? Did you think he had a particularly outstanding game in that match
against Man United?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
What was the difference? Because he has been pretty poor this season. Why was he so good in this game?
He's coming. You know what? To be honest, he's coming more inside now, and he's becoming more of a playmaker as well. And I think he's actually, he's actually turning into more of a midfielder than in the most recent games. More of a centre midfielder, playmaker than just a right back. I think he's definitely showing why he should be first on anyone's list when it comes to right backs. Going to the Euros. Brilliant, brilliant game.
First,
100%. Who's better than
given how poor he was up until March and how bad he is defensively?
Cass, you say bad defensively. His stats are actually at least on par, if not better than Reece James. Who everyone's been saying has been, he's the best this, the best that. His defensive stats are very similar in a much worse defence, it has to be said. So, I know. I think Trent's so good going forward that people are just, in fact, he's just so good that I think people are always looking for things to find wrong with his game. So anything Trent does slightly not perfect, everyone's on his back. So
it's not his job though. That's my point. So it's not being. I'm being honest. It's not his style and the way that we play. Reece James wouldn't suit. We had an out and out right back defender. Defending right back with Nathaniel Clyne, and he got replaced very quick because at the end of the day, that's not Klopp's style. He didn't do anything wrong. At the time, he was but at the end of the day, he could have come back on if he could have came back. I think that with the way that we play, that's not Trent's job. Trent's job is to defend a little bit, but not as much. you know, as making opportunities and creating creating goals, you know, system at Klopp's given.
Maria, do you think that game showed that we are getting better, or did it show that Man United are not as good as their position in the league suggests?
Or how much have you been telling everyone that how good they are?
Thanks, Maria. You sound very different there, but
yeah, morphed into Dre. Both. I think both. I think it showed that we're definitely getting better. I mean, it showed our inconsistencies. Actually, it showed that we can play really, really well. And it showed, I mean, I don't know what Man United were doing the other day. It just, they were all over the place. In fact, they seemed quite dejected. It was quite a strange show on the pitch from there.
Do you think, I've heard that the protests that are still ongoing there very, very loudly before every game, that is starting to affect their players. Do you think that could be part of it?
Well, potentially. It can't be nice hearing your, because the fans are so, it's a really difficult one. So obviously the fans have got a right to protest against what they're protesting about. But it is, it's not just impacting, it does seem to be impacting everyone that's involved in the games. And actually I was concerned that it would impact our players as well as well, I wasn't concerned about how it would impact Man United as such, but it must be a concern to them. I mean, not just from what they can hear, the shouting and so on, but also it's an unsettling period in the club's time at the moment. So to have that going on while you're playing, and the backdrop of what had happened, was it the week before where they'd got onto the pitch and the match had been postponed? I think I'd be quite concerned as a player, just safety wise, to be honest, and what could happen, what's going on and so on. I think it would have impacted them, but I don't know if that is an excuse for Man United's performance the other day.
Can I ask you just a quick question? Did the fans try to stop? Who did they play after us?
I don't know, but they tried to stop this
before
game.
Or after? They didn't try and stop.
Just the week before they did it. Yeah, exactly.
So Leicester, and then they had a game against Roma. And then what about the game after that? They've just lost against someone else.
They just drew.
Fulham. So they had Leicester before us and Fulham after.
And was Fulham is at home, right?
At Old Trafford, yeah.
And did their fans try to stop the bus coming in and stuff? No. Then
well, probably this is not. Interesting. Game, all the Fulham games.
Not really. Why is that interesting?
But I guess
because they weren't
involved in the Super League.
Yeah, they weren't involved in the Super League like we were.
That wasn't about that. I do not buy that those fans were trying to, you know, stop it because of, you know, Liverpool in the Super League as well. I think that's a load of crap. They were just trying to put off the team because it's a rivals and because they weren't doing all this stuff before.
But even if that's the case, that's just bigging them up, because you should do that against your big rivals. Good for them. I want us to disrupt Man United all we can. If they're going for the league,
I don't think it's right when we've done it
in the Champions League. We've chucked stuff at people.
I agree. Well, there's always two idiots. So there's a difference in an organized crowd of thousands of people, you know, or at least a couple of thousand people, compared to, you know, two idiots who decide to throw a bloody bottle at a coach. You know, you can put off your team by making sure that you give them a welcome when they're coming in, by making sure that you show and force the intimidation of what our fans can do, but not what Man United fans do. And then they tried to get the game put off twice, didn't work. You know, Man United also rested the players as well the game before, thinking that they could knock us out of Europe, because that was what Ollie was trying to do, score extra points by doing that. It didn't work. You're in the mud, custard pie. You know, we rolled on with victory in your ground, smacked you up.
Yeah, and to add to that as well, I mean, I think the height of disrespect on the whole thing that got me is that Man City hadn't won the league yet. So in theory, all right, Harry Kane, we can see him, Dre. It's Harry Kane.
He's got a point in a minute. While we're talking about disrespect,
let me finish.
And you can, you can wind it up into this point as well. But
okay.
Can you talk about the disrespect that Mane showed towards our manager at the end of the match?
Okay, so there's levels to disrespect, and that was high. Okay, first of all, the disrespect was, from Man U's point of view, was the fact that they still technically had a chance to win the league, and they chose to just let that go in order to hurt us more. I thought can you imagine you still have a chance of winning the league? Bear in mind, they've not won it in so long. I don't care how unlikely it is. You know, You just got to keep going. If they'd have won that game, City would have had to win and put a little bit of pressure
on
whatever.
It's not even about winning the league. It's delaying the other team winning as long
just
as
respect. Possible. Yeah. It's just respecting your club and your fans and your shirt. You know, and you tried to do that because he wanted to score points and tried to be, you know, tried to score points with the fans, you know, because obviously he'll be lauded if they knocked us out of Europe. That's something we'd never hear the end of.
Yeah, and then they got battered again. So it's like, it just really backfired. So they literally, I got the disrespect. I was praying, and let me just quickly. I know you said I will talk about the Man incident, but very quickly about the game itself. Right, I just felt that. I actually thought we were on the verge of getting battered here. There was a turning point. When that goal, Bruno goal, went in, I was thinking, ooh, we could get battered here. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking, because they were cutting through us. Like, it was really easy. Reece was looking ropey. And I'm not having a go at Reece, because to be fair, I think he's done well. 90-year-old kid, centre-back, lots of pressure. He's done well. But that's why I put it. Anyway, okay. But they were slicing through us. And then the penalty that we didn't get, which was... pretty much a stone. I mean, let's just be really honest. If Man U had that as a penalty straight away, it would have been. So, but anyway, we didn't get that.
I'm glad you mentioned that penalty, that VAR decision. I think that's a really good point, that we got a VAR decision, which was, it was probably 60-40, it should have been a penalty. So the VAR got it wrong. Yeah. But it also proved why we shouldn't get hung up on VAR, because the reason we got that chance and the reason there was a VAR decision to be made is because we were attacking. And if you attack and if you go at a team, you'll get decisions sometimes go for you, sometimes they go against you. But it didn't matter because we kept on attacking. We kept on going forward. It went against us, and you guys keep on getting hung up on like one decision going against us. But if you keep attacking and if you're on top of a team, as we were, you'll get the result in the end. And I think it made the VAR decision irrelevant. It didn't matter.
Okay, Cass, you say that. That's us. But look at the Fulham game where, you know, they Man U scored a blatant offside goal and ended up drawing the game 1-1. Now, Fulham could have quite easily won that game. They were well in the game, and that offside goal was a clear disadvantage, and you know they couldn't come back. I mean, hard enough going to Old Trafford with fans as it is, and then to start off 1-0 deficit, which is a goal that shouldn't have stood.
Fulham were fighting for relegation as well. They weren't relegated, and they needed.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're odd decisions, but I'm just saying in general, if you're attacking, you're going to win the game no matter what. You're going to get.
Well, if you're good enough.
Yeah, but we were clearly good enough. But we were.
But anyway, so the disrespect.
But the Mane, talk to me about Mane. Okay. So, all right. Actually, I'll mention one other player before I do that. So Bobby scored 2 goals in that game as well, sort of justifying his inclusion in the team. Jota, another striker, he got a goal. And Salah, ever reliable, got another goal in that game. And Mane got on the pitch and then showed his discontent quite disgracefully at the end of that. Go on. Ellie and Dre, I want you both to talk about it, because I think you've got slightly differing views, because for one of you, that's enough is enough.
Mm. Yeah, I'll come at it from two sides. First of all, I'm going to come at it from the club point of view and what he should have done. Obviously, you know, he's upset because apparently Klopp said he told him in training that he's going to decide to start Diogo instead of him. But Mane had just come out earlier saying he knows he's not playing well. So, in his defense, and I know there isn't much of a defense because he's got a, you know, at the end of the day, what he did was wrong. He shouldn't have done it. It looked terrible. Bad on him, bad on the club. Shouldn't have happened. But, you know, sometimes when you're so disappointed in yourself, like, I think he was just disappointed. I don't think he was necessarily angry at Klopp. I thought he was just almost like, you're just so disgusted with yourself at how bad he's been. Because even when he came on, he fluffed that opportunity to go past the keeper, completely fluffed it. It might have been offside, but he still fluffed it anyway. Didn't look great, let's be honest, when he was on, even for a short period of time. So I think he was almost like a bit of disgust at himself as well as the situation. And he almost felt like he didn't deserve a handshake. He hadn't done anything worth, you know. I wonder if there's an element of that. Because I'll be honest, as a player, I've been there myself. Like sometimes when the team's done well and you've had a really poor game by your standards, you can't shake that disappointment in yourself. You know, you just feel like you don't deserve to celebrate with the rest because you're not contributed to that success. And I can understand it from that point of view, but I'm still saying it's wrong. You shouldn't have done it. It should never happen.
It's selfish. Like, you know, at the end of the day is that, look, you know, as kids, definitely, we've all been like pissed off when we've been taken off and all those types of things, which is quite normal. But at the end of the day is that I looked at that bench when Alisson, obviously we'll talk about that later, but like, when Alisson scored the goal, there was just pure joy from even people that have just been taken off, or some people that even got to come on, just team players, you know.
And I think, what are you picking on him for?
Oh, that's Genie didn't celebrate. Genie was the last one there. That Genie was like walking over. Like it was just.
Why are you starting? Why are you picking on Genie with the
time? I'm just saying.
These two have got agenda.
That's right. We'll work it back with Kato because he weren't there because he was injured again.
No, he's not injured. He's just been he's being sold, so they don't want him to get injured before
he's injured. He is injured.
I don't think he is. I think he don't want him to get injured. They're doing like what they did with Lallana. They don't want him. They don't want to keep him.
They played Lallana in the last few games.
I sincerely cannot believe that anyone.
He didn't come on. He didn't come on.
He didn't come on.
He didn't.
No, he didn't come on. No, Lallana didn't come on because he was Mr. He's Mr. Glass.
Andre. Just.
But let me get back to the Mané thing. So with the Mané thing, I just feel that it's you know, if you're going to do things like that, then you're putting a big, you know, red flag over your head that people are like, okay, well, this is something that, you know, we've been waiting for since 2014. You know, we've gone there and it's never, majority of the time we go to Man United over the last several years, it's always never gone our way, but we've never had except for like, I'll say with under the Suarez league challenge, that we've gone there and dominated and battered them. And, you know, to a point where it's like embarrassing. You could phone your friends 15 minutes ago with exhibition football. I can't understand how a player in that squad could not be joyous of that occasion if you love the club. And I think that when you're thinking about yourself and your manager comes over who plays you through thick and thin, through times where you're terrible and you shouldn't actually be playing, has had faith in you, and then you swipe him off in front of people, I think the disrespect was public. So the apology should have been public too. I just think that he doesn't warrant being in that team, and he hasn't shown me like if after you know after that the last two games that he's playing out of his skin, I would have been like, all right, fair enough. He had a point.
Last two games.
Yeah, but I get it, and I did hold my hand up when he crossed the ball over from that Phillips, but.
It wasn't a good game today. He didn't have a good game.
I'm not saying that. But
he's been very disappointing. And at the end of the day, is that of his own standards, and I'm very, very grateful for everything he's done before. I'm not saying he's just like, you know, a terrible person and never should play for us. Like, he's been absolutely lights out, you know, for the last few seasons. But
yeah.
I think he's come to a point where, you know, he displayed the disrespect last season. You know, when he went on about Salah and then he's doing it again, I just don't really see how that's a team player.
So okay, but what I will say very quickly, I'll just say this isn't uncommon among elite players. This type of thing isn't uncommon about, I mean, elite players. Messi used to notoriously not be allowed to be taken off
because Messi.
He used to throw a massive, massive strop. Cristiano Ronaldo is the same. If he hasn't scored, he was a nightmare. Apparently, Van Nistelrooy was a nightmare to be around. If they'd won a game and he hadn't scored, Van Nistelrooy was an absolute.
Yeah, but those players have never had a bad season like this. You can't. If Mane did this last season or two seasons ago, I would say yes, he's been that level. This season, he should be grateful to even get 1 minute on the pitch. He's been that bad. He's got no right to complain whatsoever. It's not his elite level that gets him away from doing this.
I'm not on about
the fact that he's that bad this season. Messi has never been that bad. Ronaldo's never been that bad. Van Nistelrooy has never been that bad.
I'm not on about his right to complain. I'm just saying how they think. I'm not saying
that. The comparisons you made were players who were at the top and who would never play this bad for the course of a season.
Mané's been second. Not this season. Ballon d'Or for last
it's a whole season. It's a yes, whole
but
season.
You don't lose elite mentality just because you have one.
No, but my point
he still thinks he's that level.
Hang on, the point is that you're saying Messi, Ronaldo, Van Nistelrooy, they might have one or two bad games and then they'll be in that situation. Mm. This guy has had a whole bad season. You can never say
that. What's that got to do with mentality, though? I'm talking about
that is the difference between, you know, there's players that have been on the bench the whole time, and that includes Keita, it includes Ox. You've never seen them, like, you know, display any form of like disrespect or just, you know.
Yeah, but they're not elite. They're not elite like that, though.
Yeah, but nor is he anymore. Nor is he anymore.
I know, but I'm saying there's a mentality. Like, I'm saying that if...
I understand that.
His mentality is not just going to change. In his head, he doesn't think, oh, I'm shit now. I'm just going to be...
But you know
in his head, he's still thinking... He knows he's not playing well, but he thinks he can still perform. He thinks he can still perform. In his mind, he's thinking... I could still do something special for this team. He's not thinking, I'm never going to score. I'm this, I'm that.
But then
players always think, yeah, but he was, but part of the reason was he came on late and didn't think he had a chance to influence the game. And
let me give you an example, Ali. One example here. Salah was through on goal. Obviously, I know we're skipping forward to this game tonight, but Salah was through on goal. Salah went to go around the keeper and he went to square it to where he thought Mane would be. Mane didn't make the effort to bust his ass to make sure that he's there. No, but that's cool. Salah fluffed it. But at the end of the day is that even if Salah fluffs it, you're supposed to have a second striker there to be able to...
Yeah, no, you're right. Right. Look, I'm not defending his ability.
That's why his arse should not be moaning or displaying any form of disrespect because you don't warrant being in the team. You should be grateful that you're in the team.
I'm agreeing about the... Wait, just clarify. I'll say this last thing. I'm agreeing about he shouldn't have, but I'm just trying to explain why he is. Yeah. That's all. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think we get that, but the bottom line is that he's wrong. Is to do that. That I think that's the ultimate. He's just wrong to do that. But talking about ungrateful, Suki's been very ungrateful towards one of our star players, Genie Wijnaldum. He got his wish. He got his wish. Wijnaldum was not in the starting lineup for Liverpool against West Brom. How did we do without Genie in the team in that game, Suki? Our worst performances.
No, Cass, that wasn't one of my that wasn't my wish. My wish would be to have a better replacement to have him on. If it's between Jones and Genie, I choose Genie.
But that is the only option because the others are sick.
No, Suki hates Leader Jones more than
Leader Jones.
Drake calling Leader Jones when he had the couple of good games way back when.
He took over Dini from Leader Locks.
Yeah.
I'm not calling you Locks Leader anymore after that goal. I'm just gonna keep it.
For clarity, I would have picked Genie on Sunday.
Yeah, because he's a good player. But why did we go backwards? So we had a good game against Man United, and then I thought we looked really, really poor, certainly in the first half against West Brom. Why are we not consistent?
I just don't think we're good enough at the moment to be consistent. I think we've still got the moments of greatness in there, and you can see it in patches. I don't think we're brilliant all the way through against United. I think at the end, we looked super shaky after we conceded the goal. I just think there's a real... The mentality's gone from the last couple of seasons. And I can understand why, because we don't have a captain as well. We're down our two key central defenders, which does add a lot of stability to your team. So that's gonna impact you, especially when one of them's VVD, the best central defender in the world, and such a...
Amen.
And also just missing Hendo, just so... Having your captain, like Hendo, I'd say is one of the best captains in the league. Just like you've heard it, how much he speaks on the pitch, how much he gets people going, how much he shouts at them to get in the right position, how much he bigs them up when they do something well. It does make a difference to the team. And it ultimately, I think that's one of the reasons we did so well the last couple of seasons with the Champions League and the league. So I think just having those two off the pitch is going to impact that. So I can understand the patchy performance, especially when you've got two non-senior centre-backs playing. That just does impact the whole team because you've then got your midfielders worrying about defending a bit more. And so I do think there's a genuine lack of creativity in midfield. And I'm not always convinced by the midfield that Klopp picks. But I can understand why we are patchy. But in terms of results, I think from the last nine games now, we're starting to grind out results again. From the last nine games, we've won seven and drawn two. I think like that's good form in terms of getting the points and getting to where we need to be.
Taking more points than City and Chelsea, so in that time.
I think number one,
I mean, City have taken their foot off the gas, though. You can't say they're like giving it 100%.
I know,
if I was in Chelsea's position, I would focus on the Champions League as well. I wouldn't be too fussed about it. Although they are at risk in the Champions League, and we will talk about that in the next game. But for this game, so it was West Brom took the lead. Salah scored a great goal to get us back into it, I think, if I'm remembering
beautiful. Mane assist.
And Maria, what happened at the end? Because it looked like it was going to end. It did look like it was going to be another drop points. I mean, you're talking about, we played well, nine wins this, seven games that, whatever, but we weren't playing well in this game at all. And it looked like it was going to be another drop points until something happened at the end.
Wow, it was the point. I mean, I personally thought this is it. We're not going to forget top four. We're about to lose. You know, we're about to draw, and it was this despairing moment. And then obviously it was that all or nothing moment, and Alisson comes running from the goal up, and something I mean, that miracle that Thiago was talking about the week before happened. And that was, all I could say is that was an absolute miracle. And I replayed it. I'm not joking. I replayed it all of that night, all of the morning. And then I had to just say that I've got to let go of this now, because otherwise I'd probably still be watching it today. It was incredible. The header, the skill was incredible. In fact, you know, today he could have probably played Alisson up front, to be honest. Goalies. It was incredible. And I loved the reaction of the team. Was just beautiful. And it was something that, I don't know, I mean, that goes down as, I just think, the biggest moment of the season in the Premier League this season. It was incredible. And for it was us, an emotional I don't know. I'd say that was, everyone was talking about that. That was something
unique. Everyone was happy except for West Brom fans.
Sam Allardyce, Big Sam.
I felt like in the morning the sun had come out and everything was amazing because of this goal. Alisson's interview afterwards was really just, he's so humble, and it was so lovely that the things that he said and the way he kind of expressed it all, and it was always his disbelief as well, and the celebration, all of it, it was just, all of it was amazing. And I loved how he said, what was it he said, that God put his hand on his head or something. It was just incredible. I loved every moment of it, and actually I will be watching it again when we finish this podcast, because it was that good. It was just the best moment of it. Made my whole weekend.
They can't make that happen. Something, you know, magnificent like that happen, which is like one of the things that happen when all football fans, even if you're a hater of the team, you're still wow, that is absolutely amazing.
And it's that moment, you know, everyone when you see the goalkeeper come running forward, you're just like, oh. And I was actually really worried. I thought, oh no,
what if they score?
Something's going to go wrong. I just thought actually they're going to miss. And then the ball's going to come the other way and Alisson's going to be running, trying to get to the goal. And I was like, oh, this is awful. And I just couldn't believe it. I could not believe what I saw.
I felt bad for, because you guys were watching it in the stream, and I think Ellen and I were watching it in real time. So I felt bad after.
We spoiled it.
Kind of ruined it for you guys.
Oh, no, I mute you guys.
Did you mute them?
I
was ignoring the phone at that point because I realised I was really behind. And then I looked down and I just saw Alisson and I thought, oh no, what's he done?
Of course, you're not
going to
think he scored, are you?
No, but when I put boom after.
When I saw the boom,
it could be a good save though.
What's going to happen? I literally was like, what's going to happen?
I felt bad that I kind of took that bit because I literally couldn't. When I
lost it,
I was just like, oh God. I was just like, you know, 9 times out of 10,
99.999%
it is like a probably waste of time, and he's just there to disrupt. But we forget that he actually can play. So when
the way he did it as well, and they were like, "Do you practice headers?" And he goes, "No, for fun sometimes."
He's so calm.
The only person in that crowd wasn't happy was even some of the West Brom players was like,
"Oh, they didn't care." It was Big Sam. That was it.
Big Sam was angry.
He was angry.
Him and his gravy was angry.
But I'll tell you
That's the good. Let's just be a bit of honesty here. It was a poor game. We played it before, and we got very lucky with a VAR call. We got very lucky with a VAR call.
Please don't. Because we had so many chances to score. Don't be like that. Don't be like one of those that sees the scoreline and then calls it.
Because Trent, those chances. As in the front three were awful. All three of them missed some easy chances.
Yes, but we can't say that the team actually played some really good. We were so bright and sharp in the pass. Thiago was masterful. He literally conducted the whole game from start to finish, sewing it together. And the only problem was, again, that we couldn't finish. But we weren't. I kicked back against saying that we were awful, because we weren't.
No, our we were poor. We gave away the first goal. We were very, very lucky not to be 2-0 down. Yeah, and the problem when you say we were good in that game as well is that you undermine how good we were in the Man United game. I thought we were miles clear in the Man United game.
I'm astounded. 3-0 down. You could have been down in the first 20 minutes.
Well, we played at Man United. That, exactly. The first 20 minutes?
No, we attacked. But we attacked after that. That's what I wanted. Even in the games we've lost, like when we lost to Everton this season, I remember that we lost an early goal and we just sat back and just took it. And it was like, why? Just go for it. Do something. And that's what we did against Man United. And that's what impressed me in that game. And we didn't do that against West Brom. We just sat back again.
11 men behind the ball.
Yeah, I know.
What I will say is the bit I do agree with Ellie is had we put away some of these chances that we should have put away, then we would walk away now and say, what a great performance.
No, exactly.
No, you wouldn't.
Goals don't make a difference. Like even today against... Even today against Burnley, we ended up 3-0, but we weren't as good as other games. I agree.
Yeah, but I also look at it this way. You know, no matter what, you can actually look at our team that we're playing. Literally, it's bare bones, and we've got two, you know, inexperienced defenders in the centre of our defence. So at all times, I'm always thinking this team maximum really should be performing maybe 7 out of 10. You know, but the Man United game was old school, you know, Van Dijk, Gomez at the back, full squad, teaching any team a lesson. But I can't expect that every game. I'm just happy that the team has a winning mentality and will keep on going to the end. And
that's what we can ask.
So I don't care about the actual performance right now. I care about the result. And we just need, you know, we can have this debate next season. When we, fingers crossed, we've got more additions, and then we can actually critique the team a little bit more.
Additions in a minute. Let's just finish off the week of games. So we're the final game. We've just finished watching it now. Actually, it's the second to last game of the season. Puts us in a very good position given the other results that have happened in the earlier games. I think we're now in fourth, right? We just beat Burnley, so we're now in fourth, or it's in our hands. If we win, we're definitely in the Champions League. If we draw and other results go in our favour, we're in the Champions League. And even if we lose and other results go in our favour, we're still in the Champions League. But let's not talk about that. That's for another time. Let's talk about today and Burnley. I thought it was a very slow, quite poor first half, to be honest, from us. And it was a last-minute goal from Bobby that put us in the lead at half-time. And then second half, things sort of picked up, although we didn't dominate them in any way, shape or form. Who had a good game today for you guys? We haven't really discussed it, so it'll be quite good to hear from each of you who had a good game and who had a poor game.
Salah was remarkable. I thought the best game he's had that he didn't score in. Some of his touches were just outrageous, like his little flick. Yeah, he should have scored, but it's the best game I've seen him. His work rate, he didn't stop running. He, like the lost causes he saved. I mean, the last three games, it's between him and Thiago. To be fair, and Phillips for the most consistent, like they all three of them have just been obscene. But yeah, and again tonight, they all three of them for me were like the standout again. Alisson solid, and a shout out to Reece because I think Reece is just not as good as the rest of them. He isn't. We know that, but he's just trying to do a job, and he's tried hard, and he's doing the best he can, and he makes mistakes, but then he's been recovering well. You know, he'll make a mistake, and then he'll just do something to get it back in, and I can see he's got better already. Do I still think we need another centre-back? Yes, but I mean, you know, as a number five, he's not the worst in the world. And I think he's done us a job so far. So big, big props to him.
He should not be on the pitch again for us, unfortunately. Yeah, I agree with you that he's doing a job because he has to right now. And that's fine. But he's no way near this level. That was the weak point that we had in this game. Just the ball over the top, bang, they're in.
It's much better than having Fabinho at the back, though.
Yes, that's more because we don't lose Fabinho in midfield. Although, if we're talking about players who didn't play well, he hasn't. And in all three games, to be honest with you, he's been one of the worst performers.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Fabinho?
I'll come to Fabinho in a minute, but I think you look no further in his last few games than Nat Phillips. You're being standout player. Like, literally, we wouldn't get these results if it wasn't for him. I feel like he's a leader at the back. I feel that
You throw that word around too.
No, not leader.
I think he's good.
He's got to earn leader. But he definitely is like someone that I feel solidly should be staying next season.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
I don't worry about him playing next season if he's playing alongside any of the better defenders. You know, he's earned his place and he should have his contract.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I mean, like, whatever we're paying Ben Davies, just divert that to Nat Phillips.
You won't notice. You won't notice.
Exactly. Exactly.
The little zeros. The zeros at the end.
So I think Genie had another good game today.
Oh, man.
He made a difference. He made a difference in the West Brom game, and he had a good game today as well.
I'm not with you.
He makes he makes the midfield. He had a better game than Fabinho. I can tell you that right now. I can tell you that right now.
I think you've been harsh on Fabinho.
Fabinho's job, one job, is to tackle and to keep the ball. He just keeps losing the ball at the moment.
This man
I don't
has
know
had
why.
To play how many different positions this season? And he's
been, yeah, but that shouldn't make him forget his normal natural position.
Look, listen, we are at the end of a long, horrible season that the majority of us like would love us to just be like done with. And I think the man's burnt out. He's also one of
Salah hasn't dropped his levels.
Salah's got a goal to get. He's got a selfish goal as well, which is good, and I don't mind that for him to be.
I'm happy.
That's fine. Go for it. So it's cool because it works for us.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, is that like Salah has his own personal goal to be the top scorer. Like, you know, that man's burnt out. I think he's playing very well. I don't think he's playing too
well. I'm going to stop you there because I'm going to give you the last word on this game. It's about the person who came on and scored the last goal so that you can have your moment.
This
will hopefully stop any tantrums at the end of this show. I can't bear any more of that nonsense at the end of this show. So why don't you tell us?
He said wait. No,
I did mean now, actually.
Oh, you meant now? Okay.
Wait, actually,
we can't miss Bobby, though.
You're right. You are right, Ellie. Go on.
That's three games now.
Like, three goals in three games, which is what you want from a striker. I keep saying, and I've had a go at Bobby, quite rightly, in my opinion, that he's not been scoring goals and he's not been good enough. Because I said the bare minimum I want from a striker is to score goals. And where Mane has flopped at this business end of the season, Bobby has stepped up and he scored three goals in three games. So, you know, go on, wax lyrical about Bobby.
Are you owing an apology then?
Bobby for me.
And he's talking.
Quite happily wait for this one. I mean, I don't mind.
Yeah. You said several times that his job is to score. You said at the Man United game that, if he doesn't do anything after that, then it doesn't mean anything. He has done stuff after that. Actually, you've said even after the first goal, you said, if he doesn't do anything, then it doesn't mean anything. But, you know, let Suki get
Suki, in. Suki's got a point of order.
One thing I will say, so I'm not obviously hating Bobby as much as Kasim is, but
I mean, it's still Bobby out for me, but go on.
Yeah, he's still not doing enough. Like, I think there's an effort in the West Brom game quite early on where he was through where he should have shot, but he looked past it. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, you're in a goal shooting position. Yeah.
But Suki, Salah does the same, though. I'm just saying, like, Salah misses loads as well. I mean, Salah gets a lot more. So I'm saying at least Bobby's scoring now. So you can forgive him for missing because he's actually scoring some. Whereas before he was just missing everything, so it's like
I just think he needs to change his mentality a bit and learn to shoot. True. I genuinely do. I don't know why and I think it's not just a Bobby thing. It's a lot of the players. We're in a position where they can shoot even outside the box, and you just look to play that pass and it, or you take that extra touch. I think today when he was trying to go around the keeper, it's like shoot earlier on, get the goal.
It's true, and what I'll say about Bobby as well is that. You know, people are saying, you guys are saying Bobby out. He scored 9 goals this season, which is, I think, 3 or 4 more than Werner. Now, all I'm saying is that this is probably the worst season that Bobby's ever had. And it is the worst season he's ever had. And Mane, who's also on 9 goals, by the way. You know, and if Werner's going to get another chance at Chelsea and people think give him more time, I think after what these guys have done for us, they do deserve, especially Bobby, another crack at the whip, because Bobby offers so much more around the game. Whereas Mane, unfortunately, when he's off it, he's properly off it. Whereas at least Firmino helps knit the team together a bit and does tracking back, et cetera, et cetera. So I think he deserves another chance, at least.
I disagree with that. When Bobby's been poor, he has been effectively damaging the team. He's been that bad at times. He has harmed us in a lot of occasions this season. He has not been anywhere near good enough. He's not passed at the right time. He's shot at the wrong time. Yeah, I think when he's been bad, he's been really, really bad. But before I do,
which is the worry, which do I that? Why he hasn't.
But I think he was in, I think he was carrying an injury, because this upturn in form has come since he took some time off to get his injury sorted, and since he's come back, his form suddenly been much better. So I think,
but isn't he entitled to have one season where?
Yeah, agreed.
Know, you know. After everything he's done since he's pulled the shirt on, since he's made his debut, he's played, you know, out of his skin.
Yeah, our number nine.
Yeah,
but so, time moves on. Time comes for every person. Come on.
But the time came for Ox today.
Okay.
And I told you lot. I told you lot that we should keep him, and they've been nursing him back to full fitness. He will be your show. He will show next season why they're keeping him and why they're shipping someone else
you
out.
You see, you lot flip flop.
Who are they shipping out?
Let me finish. You lot all flip flop because you lot all say, "Oh, we don't want injury prone players. Oh, I've had enough of injury prone players.
I've been get loyal to loyal.
Get him out my club. No more injury prone player." And now, at the moment, all of you, let's keep him.
No, but he hasn't had a chance.
Yeah, but it's like, you can't. It shows that you forget how good players are when they're injured, and when they come back, and they're like,
we knew how good he was.
Sorry, Ellie.
So why are you saying out before?
Ellie, you would have to say, honestly, just be honest. Since, if you go side by side, I know we do this every week, and I'm sorry, listeners. If you go side by side, Ox's career at Liverpool and what he's done, and the difference he's made and the moments he's made compared to Cater's.
Ox is ahead. But what's that got to do with my point? My point is saying that you can't suddenly, you guys are saying we don't want any more injury prone players. Ox is injury prone. He's not played enough. He plays a 15 minute cameo, scores one goal.
Banger.
Yeah, let's keep him.
I agree with you. If we sign two midfielders, then Ox and Cater are gone. But if we're only going to sign one, and even I don't mean we're going to sign that many, it's not a conversation. Even you admit, Ellie, that if it's a choice between one of the two, it's got to be Ox that we keep and Cater's gone.
No, I think Cater's gone. But
No, that wasn't my question. My question was, if we keep one of the two, Ox is staying, Cater's gone.
Well, Jurgen said none of them are going.
To be honest, I think they're both gone. To be honest, but I've heard that Ox West Ham are in box today.
If they make the mistake of letting Ox go, you will see the best of Ox next season.
But it's the injuries. It's not the quality. It's the injuries though. That's what we're saying. Like I always rate Ox quality wise. I think he's one of the, in fact, he's probably the only player who can score from outside the box.
Yes.
And he scores beautiful goals.
Shaq has somehow become Mr. side-to-side passing. Genie at least
scored. Craps in a bucket.
Fabinho is the one, because Fabinho we know can score from outside the box, but he's just completely lost it. And he just doesn't
never
do it. It was never like other players' game in this team to be the one to shoot from outside the box, but Fabinho was supposed to be that guy and he's just completely lost it. So I don't know what's wrong with him, but I think
I'll go to Palace. That's all I don't want him to waste his career.
Well, if Gerrard goes to Palace, I think he'll take Ox with him, so that would be good news. Right, any other thoughts on this game before we move on to what Dre is desperate to talk about?
Yes,
are we not going to talk about how good Thiago was?
Yes, thank you.
He's all right.
Thiago Alcantara.
No, he was brilliant. He was brilliant. Saucy. He was brilliant for two games. Not today. He wasn't brilliant today.
He wasn't brilliant today.
He was good. He was good today.
He should have scored, though. But he was good today.
It's good to see him trying to score.
He should have scored today.
He makes more effort than Mane does. Just being honest.
Yeah, he makes more effort than Mane.
He's our best midfielder today.
That's he's better sure. than Fabinho, for sure. I agree with that.
And Genie, come on.
He was better than Genie. He was better than Genie today. He was better than Genie today.
Fabinho makes I think you got to watch the game back. I think Fabinho makes.
We all watched it. We all watched it at the same time.
Yeah, but it was terrible to watch. So we just probably just.
There's five of us that watched it, and four of us are saying Fabinho had a bad game, and you're the only one that's saying he had a great game.
I'm just grateful for what he
does.
The bar's low. The bar is low.
A player on the pitch.
Being grateful because someone's on the pitch doesn't count. That's nothing. I'm not grateful
that Manny's been on the pitch. I don't think he deserved to be on the pitch. I think Ox should be playing this.
I'm grateful.
Who could have played today? Origi. You don't have Origi on there.
Ox.
I did call the Ox sub early. I called that at half time, actually.
You did. You did. To be fair, Cass called
it. But Mane did provide effectively two goals, assists. To go
in the last few games, so we can't argue. But what I'll say, Dre, what I want to say is welcome back, Dre. It's good to have the happy, optimistic, you know, positive Dre back. You know, welcome.
It won't last because you're about to hear some nonsense. Uh-oh. Right. So we're going to talk about transfers.
What's more likely?
There's a lot of movement happening. This is why we're bringing up just now. I know it's not the end of the season yet, but there's a lot of movement happening. And I think a lot of it is going to decide on who gets into the Champions League, who gets into Europa League, and so on. So Dre, why don't you start?
I'm going to ask you guys a question. Which is more likely to happen? Now, Cass has been speaking about Gerrard coming in for Klopp next season. Is that not right?
That is what I've been saying, but I've never said that's likely.
Facts. Huh? Right. So we're talking. Yeah. Facts
no.
Podcast,
I've said
right?
it, but I've never said it's likely. I've never said it's likely.
No. I'm saying which is. I didn't. I said which is more likely.
So, oh. Okay. Go on.
So Cass
is talking very theoretically.
Yeah. We're talking. Yeah. Right. Okay. So which is more likely that to happen? Which, you know, I can hear Liverpool fans laughing all up and down the country.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I agree. I think there's a 1% chance of that happening. 1% chance.
Is it 1%? Yeah. I don't know, you must be the only person who thinks.
I think there's a one. No, but compared to what you're going to say, there's a 1% chance. Right. Go on, say your one.
Or do you think there's more chance of us actually being interested in buying Harry Kane?
He's lying. He didn't say interested. He said we're signing. So I didn't say we're going to sign.
None of us can make any decisions.
Which is more likely?
Us sacking Klopp and putting Gerrard in for next season,
or
us signing Harry Kane.
I think they're both as bad. But yeah, it's close. More likely is Kane.
Kane is more likely.
Boom. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but it's like saying, you know, you're at the bottom of the ocean and argue about which one's lower down. I mean, I'm asking you guys, you talk to me about losing my optimism. Why is it? Why wouldn't we be able to sign Kane?
No, but okay,
we
all right.
Can.
Wait, just to rephrase this conversation. Dre has now pulled out the Gerrard card to try and justify his.
Yeah, let's forget the Gerrard card. Yeah,
before you came on, Ellie, he was also saying that it's more likely we're going to get Kane than Haaland, who's available in the market. He also said we are more likely to sign Kane than anyone else in this country.
Can we not put words in people's mouth?
You can't say that.
This is what I said.
Okay, go on.
So my rationale is this. With Haaland, that's a big circus. It's stupid money at the moment because obviously his agent is involved. You know, he's gone on a pitching.
It's gone on a tour, hasn't he? Around the club.
It's absolute nonsense. And I think it's distasteful for us to be able to get involved. However, I just think that the money's too rich for us and we're not going to spend.
I want to hear 40 million
or something like that.
And you think Kane's going for.
Now, that's what I debate that Kane will go for less money than Haaland right now.
No, he won't.
Haaland is cheaper.
It doesn't come down to talent. It doesn't come down to anything apart from the English tax. And the English tax is going to... Yeah, and Levy.
So how much would you rate Haaland and how much would you rate Kane?
If I was in the buyer's market, I'd say they're both about the same. Because Kane is a little bit better and more experienced at the moment, but Haaland is that much younger and got that much room to improve that I would say they're the same. But
120 million, Kane, I'd say 120 both.
But Kane will probably go for 50 million more than Haaland because of the English tax and because of Levy. Yeah, he will.
And because he's played in the Premier League. Three things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Premier League as well. But I don't think it'll be 50 million more, but I think basically, look at this trade. This is where I see it. Look, you've got to think about it in terms of splitting the cost over the years you have the player. Now, a lot of these clubs look at how much they spend on a player, but how many years they're going to have them. Now, Haaland at 19, you could conceivably have him for 10 years. So even if it's, say, 120 million, that's 12 million a year, you know, plus weight, whatever. So say it's like 15, 20 million, whatever.
Yeah,
a year.
For 10 years.
But in theory, and the chances are he'll still be at his peak when he leaves. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kane, you ain't having him for 10 years. You ain't having him for 5 years.
And Eddie, this is what I'd say to you is that this. Would you roll the dice, or just like Man United did with Van Persie? Man United rolled the dice with Van Persie, who was injury prone, right?
Yeah, and he
had some personal problems that he had. So they rolled the dice on a proven goal scorer to be able to win them the league that season. Yeah. I think that was Fergie's last season, right? So his last winning title winning season.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, it was his last season.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
They won it twice, didn't they?
With Van Persie, but that wasn't his last season when he signed him.
No, it wasn't.
It's
the season before.
Anyway, so he's proven right to gamble and take a risk on Van Persie to win the league. Now, everyone was absolutely shocked that could even, you know, because obviously at that point, Arsenal and Man United were heated rivals. So we thought, how could that even happen? So I would count out that these things can happen. Yeah, I remember being shocked that we signed Robbie Keane one time because I didn't see that coming. So I wouldn't carry it out, and I think it would be a shrewd move.
I'm not comparing him to Kane. So you're saying that FSG are going to spend 120 exactly million on Harry better. Kane?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that Kane's worth 120 million.
But that's what the market price is for him. So let's just agree on that.
Interesting.
He is a £120 million player. You think FSG are going to spend £120 million on Harry Kane?
We're definitely going to spend £120 million on him.
Okay, that means we're out of the running then.
That's it. Because
as simple as that.
Because the difference is.
I don't think he's going to go for 120 million.
Considering if he goes, he will go for around about between 100 and 120. I think he'll go for that.
Because
much.
If you think Bale went, if you think thinking, the Bale went for but Bale went for near 100 million euros back then. That was almost how many years ago now?
Yeah, but what's the difference between then and now? There's no global pandemic where clubs are just literally just balancing.
No,
the
but
books.
Clubs are so much.
Those days are gone. People are not spending that type of money.
As we've seen this week. Global pandemic does not affect City or Chelsea.
Exactly.
They will spend. You don't have to worry about them in the pandemic.
That's a good point. So let's go through it all. I've already had this conversation with Cass already. Rule out Chelsea because Kane is not.
I don't rule them out. I personally don't
because if it comes down to money, he'll go there because Abramovich won't care. Abramovich won't care unless
he's the new Sol Campbell. And he doesn't, and he has to hide wherever he drives around in London.
Chelsea are not.
So, do you not know about the rivalry between Chelsea and Tottenham?
It's not the same as Arsenal.
But it ain't far off. Trust me. If you speak to any Tottenham fan, they would hate him to go to Chelsea.
Okay, fine. But they are one of the runners, I would say. But the other two that are miles ahead of us are Man United and Man City. And there's no rivalry issues between those two and Tottenham.
I could see Man United, but Man United can't afford to do that and Sancho. I don't think.
They won't do that and Sancho. They won't do both.
So go ahead and get him if that means we can get Sancho.
I think we'll get Sancho.
United will get Kane.
Same. I think so.
I mean, don't count that he could move abroad, but I definitely don't see Harry Kane.
His family and stuff. He's just such a Brit, England captain. I just can't see it happening. I mean, the thing about Kane, right, is you got to look at we talked about the money in terms of the fee. We haven't talked about the money in terms of the wages either. And that rules us out as well. That completely.
We ain't breaking our wage structure for him.
Not a chance. So
no, but that's what I'm saying is that I'm with you guys on all the doubts and definitely I've gone through all of those things. But I would like my club to, and I think that
I agree on that. I'd like us to, in theory.
They're in that position where they have to do something out of the ordinary. So whatever they were thinking of doing because of the backlash with the fans, they have to do something to appease the fans. So if
and that's why Man U will get him. Because they're on that beef.
Man United fans. But do you think that if we get Sancho plus others, you know, but there will be no names, the others, do you think the fans will be happy with that?
Yes.
No name. Sorry, Basuma. and so forth.
No, no, yes, because a couple of reasons. I believe the only chance we've got of getting Sancho is finishing top four. So if we do finish top four, a lot of fans will be so relieved. I think that'll cut the owners a lot of slack. And
no.
In the short term. Then if they top that up by signing like Sancho and a few other players as well, then I think fans will give them, all right, let's give them some time.
I think no matter what happens, those fans are like, whether we make it to top four or not, those fans who are pissed at FSG are standing there the same position, be like, well, we're waiting to see what you're going to do. And if we don't make it into the Champions League, you should be spending even more money than you were planning before. So people are not going to be pleased by just one.
They ain't got the money, though.
Because we should be in that anyway.
They ain't got the money,
though. I didn't say they haven't got the money. What I was saying, and you've got to quote me correctly, I said that the wage structure that we have, so the transfer system that we have is to resell. So therefore, it would be out of the ordinary for us to be able to spend big money on someone who's 27. But if that means that you're going to win the league, because he would put away those chances that we're missing.
I'll tell you what I heard today. It's back to what Dre's saying. Well, see, in a way it doesn't, but in a way it does. But But they're saying that apparently the club said that we have the money to buy Sancho without selling one of our front three. That's what they said. I don't know.
I think they probably could do that. I don't think they should. I think they should sell Mane and get Sancho. Yeah, cash him in now. Mm. The other name, and so I agree with Dre on one point, which is that if we had a proven goal scorer up front come in, number nine, we would be in a lot better position next season.
The one I
would go for, and it's exactly like the Van Persie signing for Man United, would be Lewandowski from Bayern. Because he said he wants to leave Bayern. That's the first thing. He said that. He said he wants a new challenge and he said he wants to go to the Premiership. And he's obviously been managed by Klopp before as well. So for me, and he's 32, you could get two good seasons out of him playing as a top striker, number nine, I would go for him. And he would be a lot cheaper. And I think he would make a big difference. What do you think about that, Marie and Suki?
Yeah, Suki, you're about to speak. I mean, I think that makes sense. And I don't think there's anything wrong with signing an older player, as you've said, who's got the experience, who can put the goals away and who can essentially finish their career with us, get those two last years out of them and just win us some titles. If they're able to put the goals away, that's what we want. And if they can do that, then I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that actually makes sense. And there's obviously the Klopp connection, so there'll be some understanding there, which would work really well.
I would be very happy with Lewandowski.
Yeah, why would you not? How could anyone not be?
even at that age, I didn't even know that was on the cards for us. I didn't even think, to be honest. I've read that Chelsea might be going in for him. What I do know about Lewandowski, I think he's big on his sort of lifestyle. So I don't know if the London lifestyle would appease him and his family a bit more than the Liverpool one. So I'm not sure if Chelsea hold the advantage, but yeah, I'd take him. If we got Sancho, Lewandowski and some no-names, I'd be over the moon.
No-names.
No-names. That's so disrespectful. Who's a no-name? Suki,
some
who's
lesser
a no-name?
No-names.
Maria Striker that she keeps going on about.
Tony.
Who's that? Eze?
Ivan Tony.
Who?
Tell us about Maria. Tell us about him.
Ivan Tony. He plays for Brentford at the moment. I can already see Dre's like shaking his head. You can all shake your head. You will see someone's going to snap him up.
He's top scorer, isn't he, in the Championship?
Top scorer across the England Football League.
There you go.
32 goals, I think, and a huge amount of assists.
Dre's face.
Dre, I thought you were into like getting the players who were, who are less.
Yeah,
than
not actually, that's true.
Future stars.
Other people, that's fine.
No, that's not true. No, you've changed your tune again.
When has it worked?
Every time you keep saying Robertson. Look at Robertson.
Argument
look at,
for FSG.
Yeah, that's
no,
your main
no,
argument
when,
for
no,
FSG.
I'm saying, when has a striker from a lower league came from
Vardy, Jamie Vardy?
Yeah,
that's one
Watkins
example.
This season. Ollie Watkins.
Oh,
there
you go.
Ollie Watkins, please get out of my face.
You've got more goals than Mane and Bobby.
11.
They hard.
Oh,
not with Mane.
Listen, okay. This guy is a rising star. You're going to see Leicester.
How old is he, Maria?
20, 24, maybe.
Oh, it's still got to go. Time to go.
Yeah, it's got a bit. It's got a bit.
I think it's 24. It might be.
We ain't signing no 24-year-old player from the Championship. It's not happening.
We signed Robertson. We signed, I think that was exactly what Robertson was.
No, Robert. No, that's different. There's a difference in you playing a left back or midfielder. Or like that's different to a striker that you're going to be hanging your hat on to score you 20 plus goals. That ain't
Okay, but Dre. Okay, let me just
not
let's
just rephrase. Right. That ain't
Okay, let's just rephrase it a bit. If he came in as like a backup one player, of the known, exactly,
Let me make this quite clear. We are not in a position, and even I would be out there campaigning if we do not sign a proven, high-quality attacking two attackers. I don't want to see any experiments or someone that who you know may grow and develop.
Well, this guy is proven. He's 33
proven.
Goals.
He's proven down there. I want someone who's
at the
been
top
up
of down
here.
There. He's on the cusp.
I don't want it from the
he's coming back.
League.
He's coming back. He'll
I don't want it from season. any like the Polish league.
Score against us.
I want it. I want it from one of the big leagues. Going to come in and actually score some goals.
You'll see next year, next season when Brentford thrash us because
we should be where Man United is at the very minimum because they're rubbish and we're far better than them and it's disgraceful that they're above
us. You will see.
We're 10 points better than them.
You will see.
I don't care about the points. We are better than them.
We are
not. We're literally not better than them.
We are.
Our squad isn't.
No, you're talking about
our squad isn't better.
But our team, we should be finishing above Man United because they're absolutely terrible.
Okay, Dre. First of all, I definitely agree that we should be a finish above Man U. First of all. And I'm going to whisper it very quietly is that we could actually finish third, which no one's really talked about, which would be, imagine that. Yeah,
we can.
We're
only
a point behind
us.
Chelsea. We're only a point behind Chelsea. So
that's not good enough,
Chelsea,
though. I don't care about
Chelsea.
No,
I'm not saying you were in late a few weeks back. We were lucky. We were thinking Europa League Thursday night.
We didn't even think.
No,
we
I tell you what.
Yeah, you're right.
I tell you
it
what.
It could still happen.
Just,
Europa League. Don't get too excited.
Exactly. No, I'm just saying. It can go either way. It can go either way. But all I'm saying is that, in terms of the signings, I think the Lewandowski is a great shout on a free. But only because we still need that attacking winger option.
Just to be clear on Lewandowski, it would not be a free. I think he's got 1 year left and I would like to move. And I think Bayern, but that also makes me think they would sell him because if he's got 1 year left and he's looking for a move,
but like Thiago.
We would have to put down, that's what I mean. It's very similar to the Van Persie one. Van Persie was not a free. They got him for 30 odd million. We would have to spend 30 million.
I can't see us doing that. I could because especially when there's guys like
Lewandowski.
But there's guys like Patson Dakar out there who played for Salzburg, who's like an up and coming, like hot prospect. You say that,
yeah, but I would rather I would.
Dre, you shake your head, but Haaland came from there.
I agree.
No, I get that. I understand that. But what I'm saying is that we cannot do that.
But as a backup though, not as the main. Not as
backup
the main.
For who? But I want to. Who's the main course?
Bobby.
Yeah, but who's the main course? Because Bobby ain't
Sancho,
main
Sancho wing.
So you're telling me that if we get Sancho plus this other guy,
because Salah could play in the middle. For example, like Sancho plays off the right.
We need a goal scorer. We need a goal
scorer.
Salah,
Salah can play for the middle.
I want something. No, Ellie. I want someone who when I was telling you about that chance when Salah would try to go around the keeper.
If
you had a Lewandowski, you had a Kane or someone like that, they would be there to batter that in.
Werner.
If you had a Werner.
Nah, come on, don't lie.
Werner could do it.
Dre wants Werner.
No, come on, Dre.
It's not
going to
happen.
He's got three less goals.
Cass is yet again peddling rubbish. He's like the Daily Star.
No, but you would take Werner, wouldn't you?
I would take Werner, but I'm not saying that we're going to get him. So would you, Cass, as well, so they could try it. Cass was waxing Liverpool about him before.
Yeah, but not over Lewandowski. I agree.
No, what
and
I'm saying
I agree with Suki is that we need
spend £30 million on a 30.
I would rather spend £30 million on Lewandowski than £40 million on Werner, which is what it would cost us. Because for two seasons, you've got a real chance of winning the league and winning the Champions League.
But I just think Werner ain't worth the. I just think I'd much rather go for a Tony personally than in either of those two.
Yeah.
Because I would because like you know, I just think that it, in the striker position, I think Bobby isn't done yet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I just think the way we play is that we've got guys, our wingers are the ones who score a lot of goals. So if we're going to get a proper winger like a Sancho or someone like that, then we don't necessarily need the striker to be like an absolute goal machine.
We just need to score at least 15. We have to change a little bit of the way that we play. We can't keep on playing that way. We can't.
Yeah, yeah, but then, yes, I know, but then
someone who can head the ball.
Yeah, but Dre, Salah can. Okay. That's why Tony's on the bench for plan B. Tony on the bench for plan B, because that's what he does. But I'm saying someone like a Sancho, if Sancho plays on the right, Salah could play from the middle and Yota could play on the left or something, or with Mane if he's still here, whatever. But what I'm saying is that we could still Salah could play Salah through the middle is dangerous as well as Salah out wide. You know, he can. But he's sucking. You shake your head. But he's still scoring.
Sancho's shown that he's worked incredibly well with a number nine in Haaland. I think if you get Sancho, I'd like a number nine on the pitch.
Fair point. Yeah, fair point. I mean, I do agree with
but
that.
But this is if they're going for Man United, they're going for Kane. But Man United might pull one off and try to get both of them too.
Do you think we could beat?
They can't afford it, surely. Really.
Yes. Even if United get
in being Champions League.
If we get Champions League, yes.
If we get Champions League, I think we're easy. I personally think that people would want to go and play under Klopp more than whatever the.
Because there is a lot of Man United talk. There is a lot of United Sancho.
There is. But I think
it was almost a done deal before. It was literally a done deal.
But since the Kane chat's gone, because they can't, I think he was saying they can't get both. Since the Kane chat's come on, there's been no chat of Sancho. And then they're saying that Sancho's representatives have been in contact with Liverpool. Because basically, I think that it's like the merry-go-round.
That move makes sense. But then
where's Mbappe?
That's one of other moves. Well,
Mbappe apparently is a Real Madrid brand. No. But I'll tell you what. I've heard is that Sancho, because FSG or FSG, Sancho is an easier, cheaper option than Mbappe.
Cheaper for sure.
And it's easier. No, it's easier to get. It's easier to get than Mbappe for sure. Sancho.
No, but you said better. No, but you kept saying, it's Nike deal. So it's easy.
Yeah, no, both of them. Yeah, no, I think no. But look, I just think that Mbappe with someone like Real Madrid coming and him wanting to go to you know, interested in playing in Spain as much as he's interested in playing in England, in the Premier League, sorry. I just think that pull's massive, whereas Sancho doesn't really want to go. He wants to come to England. He wants to come back. So I just think that, you know, he's been begging to come back for the last year or so. He's been away since he's 17. He just wants to play in his country again. So I just think that it's just an all-round easier deal with Klopp's links with Dortmund, with them wanting a couple of our players like that, Musilowski. They're really interested in our youth player, Musilowski, who's been tearing the youth teams up. And apparently they're interested in two other of our players as well. They haven't said who. So I just think I could see that deal being easier to get over the line than an Mbappe PSG. And I just, I don't know.
I think... Go on, Suki.
I've got a question. Are we keeping Salah? I'm not convinced we are.
I think we are.
Maria, are we keeping Salah?
I think we
might not have a choice in it, though. Is he going to stay?
I think he's going to stay. There was a point where I thought it looked like he was going to go, but I think he's staying. I think he's still got some things he wants to achieve here.
I think he knows that Mane's going.
Yeah. Is that what the passion? Going, he'll be like, the passion is so high. The passion.
He's like, listen, one of us is still going and one of us staying. You think I'm playing with him anymore? Yeah. That's it. I've had enough.
I think he's staying. I can't. I don't see him going. I don't see him leaving.
Yeah, even with all the interviews he's done this year.
Even with all the
interviews he's done this year.
They probably start working on a deal.
Yeah, but thinking back on those interviews as well, sometimes, you know, he's been interviewed by the Spanish press. He didn't say, I am going to come. He said he said something along the lines of, it would be nice to play in Spain at some point. So I don't see him leaving this season, but this could be his last.
Spain's not very attractive at the moment at all. You know, it's not the place you want to be going, really.
Listen, I think that Barcelona, after this season of coming third, are going to be, you know, buying someone big.
They've got no money, though, Bruce.
Ronaldo.
They got Memphis on the free. No, Memphis on the free. Aguero on the free. And Genie's fallen through.
That's another person no one's talking about as well.
No. Fenerbahce and Besiktas are interested in Gini so far.
Yeah, he's too good for those two. He's too good for those two.
Barca, it's done.
I think it's done. I don't know where this
is. I think it's been done for a long time.
Today it says it's collapsed.
Yeah, or because Koeman's not guaranteed to stay. That's the problem. And Koeman's already won in there.
No, I agree with that. But then if that's the case, then Depay ain't going to stay either. Ain't going to go there.
No, but Depay doesn't care. You think Memphis, he's at Lyon. I don't think he cares.
Yeah, but they sign players and then get the manager and say, hey, work with these players. It's not, but why now isn't the manager's choice?
Memphis is one of the best. They haven't got money. Memphis is one of the best wingers in Europe on a free. I mean, if he wants to come, you're taking him. Trust me.
Yeah, exactly.
They haven't got the money to spend. They,
And Gini's one of the best midfielders around, so I don't see why they've got youth.
They've got great youth players they could bring.
No, they haven't got no one up to that standard, and they've got Gini's next season. They cannot have two seasons of being out of the title race. You know, this season's been rubbish for Barca. So, yeah. But another person we haven't actually discussed as well, just really quickly, is Aguero. Because Aguero wants to leave.
He's going Barca.
Yeah,
done.
Is that done?
Yeah, apparently.
Does anyone know that?
Apparently, no one knows.
No, but then that does leave open the question of who are City going to sign to replace him then?
Haaland.
Oh, come on. You know where Haaland's going. I don't know why you lot thinking that he's going to come to us in any form of way. I think that's a done deal.
You lot.
He's got his dad.
So just say the name. Say the name, Trey. Say the name.
Well, Cass, you better stop this whole parade. His dad played, it was captain of that club. He grew up a Man City supporter. He's going to get paid stupid money to be there. And also their attractive proposition to be able to win the Champions League. He is going there, not to us. Because we're not going to be paying him the stupid transfer fee. Because you say there's a buyout clause, but I'm very sure that it's going to be way in excess of that. And then the stupid wages that he's going to be asking and having to deal with his stupid agent. Yes. I don't think so.
But all of those factors are also in play if we were trying to get Kane, but you're still convinced that we're going to get Kane.
Has Kane got the same agent as...
Kane's got Levy.
Agent Levy.
He's got Daniel Levy, who is even worse.
Well, that's cool, but I'm saying that...
It's not cool. It is worse than whatever agent Haaland's got.
It definitely is. That's and you know what? There is a 99.999% sure that it's not going to happen. But I'm saying now we're talking 100% sure that Haaland is not coming to Liverpool.
Changes June picture.
That is it. No, I'm just saying why I would like my club, and let me just make it clear. I would like my club to buy to do something outside of the box. None of us expected Torres. There was a lot of chat before, but we never really realistically thought we were going to get him. You know, Suarez was an up and coming person, so I wouldn't say that he's like the big blockbuster signing.
January, yeah, we got him January as well.
Yeah, but again, like none of us were like celebrating outside the stadium.
I didn't know who he was, if I'm being honest. I generally didn't know who Suarez was when we signed him. Yeah, I never really.
No, I knew he scored a lot of goals in the Dutch league, but
that's what I mean.
But that doesn't mean anything.
I mean, I didn't know. I just thought, oh, okay, he could be all right. I was more excited about Andy Carroll at the time.
Yeah, same.
That we need someone who we need to make at least two signings that gets everyone off of their seats. That's what they will do. They owe the fans because they've put the fans through unnecessary turmoil.
Yeah, here.
With the way that they've dealt with things. So therefore, as a present to the fans, they will give them something to cheer about.
Also, one last one. I've heard that Griezmann is wanted by Chelsea, which I think is quite interesting because that means they obviously think they can't get Haaland or Kane. If they're talking to him, then that must think they...
Well, I think Griezmann is in the market. I've heard that Griezmann is going to go back to Atletico and Atletico are going to sell João Felix to Barcelona or they're going to swap.
Ooh, interesting.
That's the latest I've heard there. There will be moves. There'll be an opportunity to get someone. We haven't spoken about Suarez.
Oh, yeah, but, Suarez, of course, yeah.
He's too old, sorry. 34 now.
On a free.
But I would rather, if we're going that age profile, I still think Lewandowski would be the move. Lewandowski's the move for me.
Yeah, fair.
Suarez is free. I agree with you on that one.
I don't think Suarez is free, by the way. I think he signed a two-year contract with that.
Was it 2 years? Okay, yeah. I thought it was one.
So Barcelona, after
getting rid of him the way that they did, are in the mud.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope Atletico win the league just to rub it into Barcelona and just say, there you go. But all right, there's going to be obviously a ton of transfer talk this summer and we're going to have a lot of conversations about this. And obviously whilst the Euros are on as well, oi, 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 Suki, I know you'll be supporting England there. But
But, not they leave Trent out. My gosh.
But let's do justice to the final game of the season. It's the big game. It obviously it matters a lot. It could be the one
that Maria's team.
Yeah, against Crystal Palace. So for one last time, who do you think is going to be our starting lineup? And we should do the starting lineup for this one because it is a big game and it matters, and we can do it. So I'm going to start with Dre, actually. Go on, Dre.
Why?
Because you always get away with it. So why don't you tell us your starting lineup? Put your money where your mouth is.
Bro, there's not much choice, my friend. It's the same. Hurricane up front. Okay. Hurricane and Lewandowski up front. Hopefully we might pull a draw. It's quite easy to pick a team.
Like, is it exactly the same team as today?
Exactly same team. Like, you know, I don't think he's going to choose anyone. I mean, I would like him to try it.
Milner?
No.
Definitely not for Genie.
I think Genie has proven that he's trustworthy in these big games. I think, you know.
He's the captain.
Sorry, you know what? You see this? This is ungrateful people. Champions League semi-final. Who pulled us out
the match?
Dre, that you can't use that excuse because by that logic, Origi should be in the team.
Exactly.
No, that's different.
He scored two goals. Ungrateful.
Ungrateful.
No. Anyway, we
I got in there.
We haven't got much choice, so therefore it will be the same lineup.
What about Ox?
Yeah,
he should be playing, but
Mane. We should start Ox over Mane.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. So you and I know that's not going to happen.
No, but let's talk about lineup you want.
I'd put Ox in.
I'll put
Mane on the bench and put Ox in because Ox is at least going to shoot from outside the box, and he's at least unselfish enough to be able to make the correct pass.
Same formation. Yeah.
No, you'd have to change the formation. I can't figure out how you'd actually do it right now, top of my head. But you definitely would have to have Bobby
double six. You'd have a double six, and then play. Because
the thing is that everyone's thinking that like we're talking about Palace aren't dangerous. Just because you gave them a drumming earlier on this season, you don't think for a second that they're going to want revenge.
But Eze's injured though.
They've not been doing very well lately, anyway.
So. Yeah,
but
do remember, you know, Newcastle. Do remember all of these dud teams that we're supposed to be playing.
I remember.
And so therefore,
we're going to have fans as well.
I don't think it matters
anymore.
In fact, if anything, Burnley had all their pie-munching
fans, their gravy fans. Burnley had
Brexit
them,
fans.
Brexit fans and racist fans. And then,
they
were booing. I don't care what Sky do. You can turn off the mics all you want. I heard booing. I heard booing at Chelsea as well.
I heard there's booing at Chelsea at half time.
There's definitely booing at Chelsea.
They turn off the mics and then they put in applause. That's what they do.
All right, Suki, who would be your ideal team? Not who you think will start, but who do you want to start?
Yeah, I would. If Kabak's fit, I'd put Kabak in central defence with
Phillip. Yeah, but he's not.
Is he definitely not?
He's definitely
not. He's done. He's done.
Oh, Kabak's played his last game then.
Probably.
Possibly.
I'd stick with Reece Williams and Phillips then.
Didn't even want to say it.
You ain't got a choice.
Midfield, I'd go Fabinho, Milner, Thiago.
What? Say that again.
Fabinho, Milner, Thiago.
Well, you drop Genie. you hate him. If he could give you a heart transplant to keep you alive, you'd be like, no.
I'm grateful and appreciative of everything Genie's done. But I don't think Genie's had a very good season. And up front, I would play Bobby, Salah, and the Ox, leader Ox.
So because Bobby's had a very good season, is that right?
But who else?
No, but exactly. Yeah, but
Jota might be back.
He
said he might be. The injury wasn't as bad as they thought.
Yeah, but I would have thrown him back in.
I'd say Jota for super sub.
All right, Maria, go on. Just give us your 11.
I'd probably go for the same as Dre, actually. Is that the same? Yeah, so I'd have Genie.
What, the one I actually want, or what he would actually do?
This is your choice. This is your choice. Who do you want?
The leader.
We see that.
So you would start that guy ahead of
the leader.
You would start Ox ahead of Mane.
I would. Although if Jotter is fit, then start Ox. Let's go with Ox. Let's go for the dream team.
And go on, Ellie, your choice. Last game of the season, must win game. Who are you going to play?
Same back four is relatively settled, ish.
Yeah,
so same back four. Midfield, I'm sticking Milner instead of Genie, and then Thiago Fabinho. Yeah, Milner instead of Genie, and then Thiago.
No, but this is your choice, Ellie. Your choice.
I know this is my choice. Yeah, this is my choice.
No, but then choose him then.
Yeah, but that's what I chose. That's what I chose.
No, but choose him then.
You chose Milner.
Choose
over Genie.
You said he's fit. Choose him.
I don't
know what you're talking about. Anyway, up front, I'm going to go for Bobby Salah and leader Mane. No, I'm going to go Mane. Those three used to play. Yeah, because I think Ox's best position is actually where Bobby plays. And I wouldn't want Bobby not to play. So I think Mane has to play. Because Jota won't be fit enough. Because you see, he played Bobby's position today. That's why he was there to score that goal.
I kind of agree with Ellie. I don't think you can just throw Ox in just because he scored a good goal, and we want him in the team. You still have to think about the formation that we play, and it's got to be 4-3-3. But I would definitely have Genie. He was our captain today. He's the only real captain on the pitch. He's got to start for us. Mm. I'll go exactly the same to start, and then I would look on Ox.
Jota, maybe?
And maybe Jota if he's fit. But I can't keep looking at Dre's screen. He's just annoying me now. So.
Dre's like one of those screensavers that shows you loads of photos from the past, but in a creepy way, all Ox's photos.
Yeah, I know. That stalkerish situation.
Hey, is that Maria's shirt?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, Maria has a shirt on now, doesn't she? I think it is,
Snap.
Is it? Oh, yeah, it is.
That's it. Look at that.
Right, well, that's it. Next time we're back, we're going to talk about the last game of the season, whether we're in the Champions League or not. It's a big game. And then we move on to the Euros, right? Dre, you've got some plans for us to cover the Euros, right?
We are going to... Us lovely guys are going to be covering the Euros. We're going to pick a team... Or maybe two that we're gonna. We're gonna pick.
Draw it live on it. Let's draw it live on
that
it.
We're going to.
I like that. Draw it live on it.
Draw it. Yeah, it's a good idea.
So we're gonna pick a team that we have to support, and we're gonna pick a team that we actually want to think are gonna win.
Okay, cool.
But obviously, England's gone because of Suki is already So it's Suki and Ellie who's fighting over England. Bar that. Every other team is actually free.
Up for grabs. Everyone else is up for grabs.
Man, I'm voting for the only African team in there, France. Do you know what I mean? Africa United, man. They literally back to front. Hey, literally, they have every African country covered in that team, man. They're beautiful.
I think the Dutch team as well at the moment, actually.
To be fair. And Karrion's and Benzema.
You're picking the team
Benzema,
with the most black
Benzema.
Players.
Benzema's in there. He's not black, he's Moroccan. He's African, too. Oh. Yeah, so literally, yeah, they've got Africa covered. Got Africa covered in that team, so yeah, man. I'm France.
I would have went for Holland, but we leave it to that time.
It's not up to us anyway. We're not picking them.
We're going to pick a team that we're going to think is going to win, but we're going to pick a team to support. So as I said, Suki and you will fight over England, and then we the rest of us.
If you're going to pick one that we think is going to win, we should be allowed to pick the same team because it's not. Your list is harsh, supporting team.
England's gone, isn't it?
No, but then we can pick the same. No, I'm saying that if everyone thinks, like, if you think France are going to win and I think France will win, we should be allowed to pick the same team.
Yeah, that's right.
I tell you what, why don't we work out the specifics of this offer?
You can see how much thought we put into this. This is
anyway, in the meantime, amazing. Have fun. Let's all cheer the team on for one last game on Sunday.
Yay!
Let's do it. Yes! Yay, third place.
Go on,
third place.